You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, hour number two. We kick it off like this. Here's the number that I wanted to give you guys on Dwayne Haskins and Chandler Jones and this matchup between the Washington football team and the Arizona Cardinals tomorrow, 4:05 in the desert, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Now, listen, I don't think there's any fans allowed there. I mean, maybe it's a small smattering. I know next week in Cleveland, they'll have, you know, like they had Thursday Night Football, about 7,000 fans. I don't believe Arizona is allowing fans, but I could be wrong on that. I could have missed that. So I should double check that. But here's what you need to know. The home field advantage that Arizona has inside that dome will be neutralized severely, clearly. Washington did have to travel, but they traveled last night. They traveled fine, you know, whatever. By the way, I was told that Kyle Smith was not on the plane last night, that he is not part of the traveling party. Very limited traveling party. Just dropped that little dime of information on you. It's kind of weird, right, that the essential quasi-general manager is not on the trip. But anyway, so Dwayne Haskins had an average time to throw from snap to release, excluding sacks. He was sacked three times. This excludes sacks, of 2.25 seconds. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, which is all the computerized statistical technology, so this is not, you know, PFF grading and, you know, kind of, you know, in the eye of the beholder type thing. No, no, no. This is computerized, technology-driven, chip generated statistics. Dwayne Haskins, 2.25. That was the worst or the lowest in the National Football League. 2.25 seconds. And it wasn't even close. The next closest quarterback, actually the next two closest quarterbacks, ironically went against each other. And ironically, one of them quarterbacks for Jay Gruden, Gardner Minshew and Phillip Rivers, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, both tied for time to throw, average time to throw at 2.34 seconds. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs, 2.35 seconds. Cam Newton, New England Patriots, 2.36 seconds. Kyler Murray, Arizona, 2.42 seconds. So how about that? But Dwayne Haskins had the least by a, you know, by what? One-tenth of a, well, actually more than one-tenth of a second. I don't want to do the math because I'm going to screw that up. Dwayne Haskins, 2.25. The next closest, 2.34. So I guess, you know, nine-tenths of a second, whatever. Whatever the difference is, you get where I'm going with that, right? So if you look at it from this respect, when you go, now, Philadelphia's got a good pass rush, right? Fletcher Cox, Vinnie Curry, who got hurt. They didn't have Derek Barnett. They didn't have Javon Hargrave. How bad would it have been, if they had Derek Barnett? And how bad would it have been if they had Javon Hargrave? And he still had the least by far time to throw. The least Again, it is defined by NFL Next Gen Stats as time to throw measures the average amount of time elapsed from the time of snap to throw on every pass attempt for a passer, sacks excluded. So the three times he was sacked, you know, that is not counted. So, you know, this is, again, snap to release. And Dwayne Haskins threw the ball 31 times. So on 31 dropbacks, I should say, 31 dropbacks, right? Because, I mean, obviously if he scrambles and he doesn't throw, it's counted as a run, not as a pass. On 31 passing attempts, he had an average time to throw of 2.25, clearly the least or the worst in the NFL. Now you throw into the mix Chandler Jones, 19 and a half sacks last year. Yikes. They couldn't convert on third down Washington last week. 5 of 18, 28%. You know, they did convert on the huge fourth down. That's great. Their offense was better in the second half. They were able to punch in touchdowns after turnovers, something they rarely did. I'll have another number for you coming up on that in just a little bit. The bottom line is they have to. First of all, I would not be surprised if you see Sadiq Charles at some point at left tackle tomorrow over Jaron Christian. That's number one. I don't know if he'll start, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Sadiq Charles pretty early in tomorrow's game. That's number one. Number two, they have got to make sure that they are not taking really any 5 and 7 step drops unless they have like triple edge protection, meaning, you know, Jeremy Sprinkle and Morgan Moses and hell, I don't know, maybe Marcus Ball all lined up on Chandler Jones' side. That's the only time I'm taking a 7 step drop. And even then, I don't know if I'm doing it. The Washington football team absolutely needs to get rid of the football by design quickly tomorrow. Not by necessity, by design. That's what they need to do, because that number that I just gave you, again, clearly the least average time to throw in the NFL, that number that I just gave you is largely by necessity as opposed to by design. And that is my fear. With Dwayne Haskins, it has to be by design, not necessity. With any young quarterback, it has to be by design, not necessity. But Dwayne Haskins, it has to be by design, not necessity. So I'm going to be disappointed if I don't see more of J.D. McKissic. I'm going to be disappointed if I don't, if I see 7 step drops. I'm going to be disappointed if they can't run the football. All those things that they need to do a better job of, to convert on third down, to be better than 28% on third down, to protect their left side of the, and it's not just the left side of the offensive line. Jeez, Brandon Scherff got beat like a drum for a sack last week. You know, everybody talks about Christian and Wes Martin, how bad they were, and they were bad. Christian got beat like a drum. Brandon Scherff got abused for a sack. Now, you can argue, as some have, that Haskins should have released the football before he got sacked. Yeah. But he still got beat. And it was one-on-one, and he just got destroyed. Just destroyed. So, don't just left side of the offensive line me. Don't just, oh, you know, we're good. Yeah, as long as we have Brandon Scherff and Morgan Moses, we're fine. We can take on Chandler Jones, no problem. Jack. That's the wrong philosophy, I can tell you that much. On that particular sack, I'll have to double check and look it up. I believe that was Josh Sweat, but I'm gonna have to double check that. But the bottom line is Scherff got beat. And again, maybe Haskins. Not maybe. Haskins needs to throw that ball a tick faster. I got it. But Scherff got beat. So it's not just the left side of the offensive line. And again, there's a difference. When I see 2.25 time to throw And I see last week, I don't see, oh, it was because we were getting rid of the football on those one-step pivot drops or because we were three-step dropping the entire game. That's not what I saw. Now, maybe I missed something. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But if you go into this guy, Scott Turner's not a dummy. If you go into this game 5- and 7-step dropping, you know, 25, 30 times, you're begging for trouble. Begging for trouble. Begging for trouble. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'll give you another pretty cool number from last week's game and what the Reds, what the football team, what the Washington football team haven't done a good enough job in coming up shortly. Plus, we can grab your phone calls, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's the AAA Always On Call listener line right here on The Fan. You don't do 5- and 7-step drops, right? You get rid of the damn football. You 3-step and 1-step pivot drop yourself to death. Even if it means that, you know, J.D. McKissick winds up with 14 receptions or targets. That's what you do. That's what you do. Oh, baby. Chandler Jones, and he's not the only guy that can get after it. I can tell you that much. Jordan Phillips, a pretty good pass rusher for Phoenix, for Arizona. They don't even play in Phoenix since in Glendale, about roughly a half an hour or so away from downtown Phoenix, maybe 25 minutes. I can't quite remember. I don't know how many times I've actually been to downtown Phoenix, quite honestly. I don't know if the airport there, Sky Harbor Airport, is in downtown Phoenix. I'm not sure. I don't think it is. I know I've never been to the baseball stadium or, I've been to the football stadium. And when we used to stay there, when flying, you know, with the Washington football team, we would stay in the kind of Scottsdale Glendale area. In college, I went to a fraternity convention for a week. And I stayed at the Scottsdale Hyatt Gainey Ranch. So, I mean, I've been to Arizona, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And I don't know if I've ever stayed in downtown Phoenix. I don't think I have. I don't even know if I've ever been there. It's weird. I went to Dallas 6 years in a row. Never went to actually downtown Dallas. I mean, I just never went. Everything that I need is where I need it to be. I'm not a fancy guy. I don't go, drinking, partying all sorts of, I used to, but not anymore. You know, when we would stay in Dallas, we'd stay at this beautiful resort that they play the memorial at, the Four Seasons. Ran into a lot of famous people there when we were there. Ran into one of my heroes, Timothy B. Schmidt of the Eagles, one time. Heroes might be strong. One of the music group that I love and idolize. But the point of the matter is, Phoenix, I don't go to downtown Phoenix. You go to Dallas. I don't go to downtown Dallas. I just go where I have to go. There's not a whole lot of time. And not a whole lot of time for the football team either. Even though they went in last night. Trust me, they ain't going to downtown Phoenix either. No freedom. No freedom. But about the pass rush. Yes, I was buying time so I can get my depth chart up. Corey Peters, not a bad pass rusher. Jordan Phillips is the guy that I would worry about after Chandler Jones. And then, because Jordan Hicks is solid in the middle, Devondre Campbell is a guy who they brought over from Atlanta. He's fast. He can run. And Isaiah Simmons, we know what kind of athlete he is. Now, he was beating coverage on a George Kittle, I believe, 75-yard touchdown. I believe it was George Kittle. I think it was Kittle. And Kittle, by the way, is scratched this week. So Jordan Reed's going to start for San Francisco against the Jets. But the point being is they have speed at linebacker, and that can be some delayed blitzes or some twist. We saw with John Bostic last week, right? Not only on the fourth down sack of Carson Wentz or the, you know, the fourth down stop, I should say. But also earlier in the game, he came unabated and belted Carson Wentz on that second drive of the game. So that's another way that you will, like, you will get in trouble. You will get in big time trouble if you do not, you know, again, one pivot step and three step drop yourself to death in this football game. I mean, look, there's no guarantee that that's going to work either, but that's the only way that I could reasonably think, okay, here's how we're going to get this done. Here's how we're going to do it. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will be able to sit in there and seven-step drop and throw a bomb to Terry McLaurin and he'll beat Patrick Peterson and Buda Baker. Maybe. I doubt it. Good luck showing me. I mean, if it happens, God bless you. I'll be happy. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't think it makes sense for it to happen. But if it happens, I mean, I'll be happy as heck. But I think you're asking for big-time trouble. Big-time trouble. If that's what happens. Big-time trouble. I'm trying to look for the Bostic. So Bostic had a big hit on Wentz on the second drive. I'm trying to find what play exactly it was. And then he had, again, the big fourth down play on Wentz in the fourth quarter when you had Peyton Barber go in for the go-ahead touchdown. And then on fourth and three from the Philadelphia 42, you had an incomplete pass to Zach Ertz. That's not the play that I'm looking for. Oh, here it is. I can't find it. Trying to find it in my notes here, and I'm just struggling to find it. But anyway, the point of the matter is John Bostic made a big play on fourth down. So, you know, look, you know, again, linebackers, it's not just defensive end. It's not just defensive linemen. They can, of course, get after the quarterback too, as we saw here. Right. So if I'm Arizona, knowing that Washington has a very suspect left side of the line, and again, everybody thinks they're great on the right side. They're not great. Brandon Scherff has never been great in pass protection. Never. I know he only was credited with giving up one sack last year for Pro Football Focus in 11 games. I don't know. I mean, I love Pro Football Focus. I don't agree with them on everything. Maybe my perception is a little bit wrong, but I don't think it is. Brandon Scherff is not great. You know where Brandon Scherff is great? He is great on screens. He is great on screens. He is not great in run blocking or in pass blocking. He's good. He's not great. I don't even know if he's consistently very good in those areas. He is great on screens. Tremendous. Tremendous. He's not great, in my opinion, pass pro or run blocking. I mean, this team can never move the football consistently. I mean, you know, you could throw whatever quarterback you want. I mean, obviously Cousins threw for a lot of yards, great, and didn't get sacked a lot. So maybe, you know, earlier in his career, he's a little bit better than I'm giving him credit for. But I, you know, out of college, you watch the tape, left tackle, he was awful. I don't know how he got drafted that high. He was awful. Not good. Look, watch his Maryland tape for Iowa. Now it's at left tackle. Maryland destroyed him. Destroyed him. And he was not good enough at right tackle that Gruden and McLuhan immediately put him in at right guard. It wasn't just because Morgan Moses was so good. Yeah, that was a part of it. It was because Brandon Scherff was so bad. And I don't know, I don't want to make fun of the guy, but he's not as good as his reputation, I can tell you that much. I mean, he works hard, and he's a good teammate and all that stuff, and he throws a mean football in practice. He's not that good. I'm sorry, he's way overrated, in my opinion. Way overrated might be a stretch. He's overrated. So you're not absolutely guaranteed that the right side of the offensive line is going to hold up tomorrow. So that's why I think you'll see at some point Sadiq Charles in at left tackle. And you hope that Wes Martin can bounce back a little bit. Ron Rivera keeps saying, hey, you know what? Both he and Christian were better in the second half. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But it's not like they were that much better. So, I'm worried about this, as you can tell, right? And I know I'm droning on and on and on. But they've got to figure out a way to get the ball out of the hands of Dwayne Haskins by design, not by necessity, by design. And that's the overall point here, is three-step drop, one-step pivot drop, boom, from pistol, he just basically flips his hips and he throws a screen or he throws a hitch or he throws a quick out or something like that. And if Chandler Jones is coming free, maybe you suck him in a little bit and you throw over the top of him a little rainbow screen. Whatever you've got to do to prevent Dwayne Haskins from taking hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, because he took a lot of hits last year and he got hurt twice in his last three games. Now, every quarterback is going to take a hit here and there. Kirk Cousins took hits all the time, and he knew how to protect his body. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins knows how to do that just yet. And maybe he won't ever. Robert never knew. Robert Nick could never figure it out. Some quarterbacks can, some quarterbacks can't. And it's not just how fast you are and how much you can run away and, you know, where you were drafted. So if you have a quarterback that has a little bit of an injury history and has a hit, according to scouts that I talked to, a history of short arming passes and not throwing with anticipation, and a shaky suspect offensive line, which you should have built up more anyway, but okay, then you have to counter by design. You have to counter by design. I'll give you another thing that they have to do when we come back right here on The Fan. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, with you until noon on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're trying to get Sarah Walsh, actually, who is doing the game. Sean, I'm going to send you her number because she needs to do it like right now, and I didn't realize that she needs to do it right now. So I'm going to send you her number, and I'm going to have you call her because I'm trying to get her on the show because she's calling the game with Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn tomorrow. So I want to make sure we get her on the radio here because she's got to leave. So let me do that. And I know this is terrible radio. I apologize. But, you know, these things happen when people answer right as we're coming back on the air. Sean, I just sent you her number, so it looks like we'll be able to hook up with Sarah Walsh from Fox here in just a sec. And Earl Forsey is going to join us. He hosts Countdown to Kickoff right here each and every Sunday morning, 8 a.m., and he will do so tomorrow. Earl will join us probably right around 11 o'clock after we get a chance to talk to Sarah. We will get your phone calls in as well at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, right here on The Fan. Again, the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington football team coming up from State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona on Sunday afternoon. Should be, again, when the NFL schedule came out, you looked at this game and you said, maybe there's something there, right? At least that's the way I looked at it because, you know, there was some intrigue, you know, obviously, with Kyler Murray. But now we get two 1-0 teams both teams off an upset. All right. So in 2009, I started covering the Redskins for this radio station, and I didn't know anybody, but one of the wonderful, wonderful people that I got to meet, and we didn't get to work together for too long because she's an absolute rock star, and she's gone on to much bigger and better things. Thankfully for her, she does not have to deal with this with this beat anymore, unlike the rest of us who are still stuck grinding it out, dealing with this organization. Sarah Walsh has gone from WUSA 9 to ESPN and now to Fox, and she will be on the sidelines for tomorrow's Washington football team, Arizona Cardinal game, and she's kind enough to make some time for us. She'll be part of the broadcast crew with Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Chris. What a nice introduction. I just didn't expect that. That was so kind of you.
Well, I mean, you know how highly I think of you, and you have done such wonderful things in your career. So I'm so happy for you and your family. And it's been forever since I've been able to see you and talk to you. But we've managed to stay in contact, which I appreciate. And it was always great to work next to you for the little time that we had. I appreciated how kind you were. So, I'm really happy, for all of your success. Everything, you feeling okay? Everybody doing okay? Family and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think we're just like so many people. We're just so happy to have a football season,
yeah,
right? Amid everything that's gone on in this world. And I think that, you know, there was certainly some concern, you know, from all of us, and especially, mm-hmm, you know, the people that work in sports, like, what are we doing? I haven't been back on air since February. I did a soccer game for Fox and was really looking forward to doing a bunch of soccer stuff this off season, with the football off season. And as a college soccer player, and I was really excited about it, and that was abruptly stopped when, you know, everything shut down.
Sure.
And so it's been a really long stretch of not knowing when you're going to get back to doing what you love. So I know it's an altered version of an NFL game, certainly being in a stadium with no fans, but I think that, you know, we're really, really happy to be here. I know players are happy to be playing. We're happy to be covering it. I know fans are happy to be watching it. And it's funny, what you said about the Redskins and covering that franchise. They are never, ever short of storylines in Washington,
no,
right? I mean, like, that is the one good thing I can say about that team in all the years there. And uh-huh, even when certainly the record is not what people would have liked, we were never short of storylines. And in fact, it felt like it was always a national story, even a decade ago when I was there. So again, you're never short of intrigue there in Washington.
No, not at all. Sarah Walsh will be a part of the broadcast with Dick Stockton, Brady Quinn on Fox. You can watch the game, of course, here locally, Fox 5, 4:05 Eastern time kickoff, from Glendale, Arizona, Washington football and the Arizona Cardinals. Before we get into the matchup, I'm just curious from your perspective, like, what is the setup for you guys, with all this, as far as you know, in terms of the meetings that you normally have with the road team the night before the game? How is that kind of working? And also, what is your understanding of your setup at the stadium tomorrow? Because I've seen, you know, like on Monday Night Football, I think it was, where Lisa Salters, or I think it was actually, like, you know, elevated behind the bench. What do you know about, like, kind of the logistical part of your role and how that's all going to work in this new 2020 COVID era?
Yeah, so everything pretty much changed. We won't be on the sidelines.
Right.
We will be, or I will be in the first row, and you have access, the way I understand it, but you have access to roam completely around that lower, you know, first row,
mm-hmm,
but you're just not on the field. Part of our, you know, situation, we get tested when we get into town. We have to take tests leading up to getting on a plane to get out of town. And so everyone's sort of in their own protocol. As far as production meetings, I mean, honestly, that was like my favorite part of the job, because
right,
you always just got so much. I don't know if folks know this, but if you are on the broadcast crew for the game, you always sit down with the coach, one of the coordinators, usually star players. And you just always got so much insight in those meetings. So those were always face to face. The visiting team, so for example, the Washington football team, that would happen today when they land here in town. That's all been switched to Zoom meetings. It's not as bad as, like, I thought it would be, because you're still seeing folks and interacting, but again, you're missing that personal, you know, I'm not going to say that they would give you so much more information if you're sitting a foot away, but you're sort of missing that personal element and that point of contact. One of the weirder things for me will be is at halftime, you always talk to the coaches. You would always talk to a coach going off the field. I would walk off the field with the coach, and then I would either go to the sort of locker room area or the tunnel, and you would walk back onto the field with the coach. And if you're a sideline reporter, you always do that halftime report right after they kick. And that is changed because obviously you can't be near those guys, and it sort of depends on the team. So, for example, Cliff Kingsbury is going to call me, which is weird, right after the half. Obviously he has a PR guy.
He's going to call you on the phone?
Yeah.
Wow,
and I don't
how about
mean, like,
that?
Cliff's, like, pulling, he's not like pulling out his personal cell and being like, you know, hey, sir, what's going on? I mean, this is all very rehearsed and planned out. So like a PR guy will walk up to him. So, I mean, I'm trying to look at the positives. Like, I don't have to be like out of breath, because sometimes you're running with these guys and then you're doing this halftime report because then you're running to your camera. So, I mean, I can be in one location, but yes, he will call me, and I'm actually not sure what we're doing with Coach Rivera yet, because from what I've heard, everyone is different. Like, they've had coaches like come over to the not fence, but come over to basically the wall, like in the first row stand, and they're like shouting down and the reporter's shouting down questions and the coach is shouting up questions. So I'm not sure what he's going to be doing, or we'll figure that out today in the production meeting. But that's sort of one of the weirder things, and I think because it varies from team to team, that's just a little bit different in figuring out how they want to do that.
Yeah, the logistics. So and you're based in the Phoenix area, right? Is that am I remembering that right now? Or no?
No, I've spent a lot of time in. I have spent a lot of time in the Phoenix area back in the day. Chris, I'm all over the place. The last time I think I was based somewhere, like really based somewhere, was when I lived in D.C. But no, okay. I've been in Tampa since the pandemic sort of shut everything down, and then Nashville is home. So that's you don't have time for that whole.
Yeah. That's right. I screwed that up. I forgot. All right. So Sarah Walsh, part of the broadcast crew with Dick Stockton, Brady Quinn, Fox. You can of course watch the game here, Fox 5, 4:05 tomorrow. What excites you about this matchup? I mean, besides the obvious, I assume Kyler Murray and the number one overall pick a year ago, and Chase Young, the number two overall pick. I mean, is that the only thing that gets you going about this matchup, or are you looking forward to something else?
No. Well, first of all, a couple things. I'm really excited that both these teams are coming into this game 1-0, because it very much could have been the other way, given where the Redskins were at halftime a week ago. Excuse me, the Washington football team. That's another thing I have to get. I got to get this locked down for the game. It's hard.
Yeah. I know.
Graham said that I was on with Bram this week, and I slipped and said it, and he was like, "We're fining everybody $20 and giving it all to charity at the end of the year," which I thought was a great idea. But man, it is hard to do, and I know not to do it, and it just slips out. And it's funny, even in production meetings yesterday, with Cardinals players, like they say, I mean, it's in our vernacular, and it's what we've been saying for decades and decades and decades. Anyway, I got to get my act together and be better, but. A couple things in the fact that that team came back, and this could have been, I mean, imagine if that game had continued to go south, the different momentum that Washington would have been coming in here with, like, oh, here we go again sort of thing. And, you know, Arizona went out and had a huge win in San Francisco. So the fact that you've got two unbeaten teams that have a little swagger to them, that have that idea of like this season could be really, really different. That's exciting to me. And obviously it always makes our job a lot easier when everyone's rolling and doing well. I think the Washington defensive line excites me against Kyler Murray. So when you talk about Kyler Murray and how good he is, well, all we've heard about, it feels like it's how good this defensive line is for Washington. So now they'll be tested in a way that'll be much different than they were a week ago. So yes, to see Chase Young and to see that whole unit go against a guy like Kyler, I think is one of the more intriguing matchups this week. And then, of course, there's always, you know, smaller storylines that are great. But Kyler against that defensive line, and also Dwayne Haskins, because, you know, there's question marks about what kind of improvement is he going to make from year one to year two. And talking to a lot of the Cardinals players over the course of this week, all of them talked about, to me, how fast he gets the ball out. And that this guy, if he gets his clean looks, if he can get, you know, that clean window, will make those throws and is this, you know, athletic guy that can zip this ball where it needs to be, but it's disrupting him. It's getting in his way, which obviously, you know, coaches always want to disrupt the quarterback. So, you know, I think Haskins is really intriguing. And then the fact that, you know, Haskins and Kyler were two of the premier quarterbacks at the same time in college and up for the Heisman, and here they go meeting again at the next level. And so I always love to see those stories where, you know, Kyler won the Heisman a couple years ago, and now they're back, and you can sort of see how these two guys both do on the same field at the next level, I think always intrigues me.
Sarah Walsh is with us. She'll be part of the broadcast crew with Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn tomorrow on Fox, Fox 5 here in D.C. for the Washington football team and the Arizona Cardinals 4:05 kickoff. I know you got to run, so I'll make this quick and ask you one more, and then we'll let you go. Really appreciate your time. What was your sense? You said spending time talking to the Cardinals. To me, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, was thought of this hot shot, good looking offensive guy, right? And usually what happens is you get a guy like that and who thinks he knows everything, and he only builds up the offense. And clearly they've invested in the offense. But it looks like they've built a pretty good football team, a pretty good defense with Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson and Buda Baker and Isaiah Simmons, pretty decent special teams. I know they missed a couple of long kicks, but they blocked a punt last week. It seems like they built a pretty good organization in a quick amount of time down there.
Yeah, you know, they've changed that defense a lot. And I think one thing, you know, Washington fans will appreciate this. I'm not sure how much it's as much in the news, really, as this happens in Washington in terms of the turnover, but they haven't really had a consistent coaching staff. They've had a lot of changes and a lot of turnovers in Arizona. So when you talk to the Cardinals guys, you know, Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones, this is the first time in a long time that those guys have had consistency here, and they said that that has made a huge difference. It's interesting you bring up Chandler Jones because, again, the focus a lot has been on that Washington defensive line. Chandler Jones is one of the best guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I asked him, how come when people say, look, this is one of the best guys in the NFL, and since he's come into the league, I think maybe in 2012, no one has more sacks than him since he's come into the league. But everyone always says, but he's underrated. He's one of the most underrated guys in the NFL, and he doesn't get the credit he should get. And some of that is because Arizona hasn't won. I mean, this guy, when you look at the stats, his stats would back up. He's the best at what he does in this league, and it's true. He really doesn't get the credit, and it's funny. I don't care about that as long as we're getting the wins, because the stats don't really lie. Like, you can't really... There's no going around that. He talked to me about wanting to go after Strahan's record, and that's been out there. And so I asked him that because, you know, a lot of times when guys will put something like that out there, then it's like you sort of have to get asked that over and over again.
Right.
He said, yeah, I said it. He goes, and I'm not going to take it back, because if you're in my position, why shouldn't I? Like, that's not a the way he looked at it. He's like, that's not really like a cocky statement. Why shouldn't I want that to be my goal?
Right.
Why shouldn't I want, I think he had 19 last year.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I'm right there. He's like, I'm right there. So that should be the goal. And if you want to be one of the premier players, every single one of us should want to break Strahan's record. So I think he's really interesting. And he could present a huge problem. And then you mentioned there's Patrick Peterson, Buda Baker. And we talked to him yesterday, and one of the coaches was like, look, he is the fastest guy on the field every time in terms of what he does and how he sees the game. And so Kyler gets the attention. He's the quarterback. He's fast. He makes these dazzling plays, but man, they have some studs over there on defense. That could be a huge problem.
Sarah Walsh is part of the broadcast crew, Fox tomorrow with Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn. Sarah, it's always great to catch up with you and to hear your voice.
Oh.
It'll be wonderful to see you on the broadcast tomorrow. And I'm so happy that we got to work together for the short time that we did, and that we've been able to stay in touch all this time. And I'm so happy that you're doing well and family and everything. And your career is obviously doing tremendous. So it's great to have you on. Thank you for making time for me.
Thank you. I just adore you. And for anyone that knows you, everybody loves you. You are just really one of the kindest people in this world. And the big bummer for this game for me is that so many of my Washington friends aren't making the trip because of the pandemic. And I'm assuming you're probably not coming, right?
It's not.
A lot of people aren't traveling. So all those familiar faces, I love to see when I go back and get a Washington game on the schedule. I'm sad I don't get to see everyone, but it's been wonderful to join you this morning.
Absolutely. We will see you at FedEx Field. You will be here. I know we will make that work, so we will figure all that out. And kudos to you. So I appreciate you making some time for us. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
All right, there you go. That's Sarah Walsh. She'll be part of the broadcast crew on Fox tomorrow. You can follow her on Twitter if you're not already doing so, and you should. Don't do like I did and forget the at symbol, but it's @Sarah_Walsh. @Sarah_Walsh. And thank her for coming on 106.7 The Fan with us this morning. All right, so I knew I blew out the break structure, but we got Sarah on a little bit later than ideal, but I wanted to get her in before she had to go somewhere. So I'll take the heat for that. So we will take a timeout and we will get back to you. Plus Earl Forsey is going to join us, host of Countdown to Kickoff here Sunday mornings on The Fan. And who knows what might else happen before noon and time is out right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.